Good afternoon and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. It is as if you call the state offices, you would hear, it's a great day in South Carolina. Hey, if you can survive one more day of the 80s and get through tomorrow, I think it's supposed to be, what, 82 or 83 tomorrow in the upstate. And man, if you look at the weather for next week, 60s, 70s for highs, it is going to be, if you can trust the weather forecaster now, that's the big question we all have is, do they really know what they're doing? But we know fall's coming. You know, it's got to get cool sooner or later. Leaf season's coming. You know, we were talking a week or so ago about the view from Lake Robinson up there. You know, leaf season coming. What a perfect time to get out and get hiking. Cooler weather, a lot of things to see. Beautiful color in the leaves. Deer season is in full swing. And I see a lot of big deer out there on some pictures. So it's, we need a really cold winter, I think, to snap us out of this 6 month rut we've got going. Deer season in full swing. Clemson lost. Sorry, people. If you haven't heard yet, yeah, number two Clemson went down to Syracuse last night. And, and I don't know, South Carolina's on the verge of losing too. They're up 15-9, but Tennessee's on the South Carolina 22 with 30 seconds left. So we'll see if South Carolina can hold on to that one. Hey, one more thing about sports and I'll leave it alone for today. Does anybody remember what happened 25 years ago today during the 1992 NLCS game from the Atlanta Braves versus Pittsburgh? Do you remember this? The Sid slide? That was 25 years ago. Unreal. I don't know what more impressive, that Atlanta could score that many runs in the ninth inning, or that Sid Bream, the slowest man on this planet, could make it. I know it's deer season. We're going to get some deer season. But today on the show, we're going to talk to Neil Paul from Visit Anderson about some upcoming events down there. Starting this week, and on into next spring. And then we're going to be joined by Chris Canute, Tanner Maness, and Britt Myers from the York County High School Fishing Team. We're going to talk about Riley's Catch, give us an update on that. I got a couple stories here on deer hunting and all. I hope when you get out there, it's a good one. They get a good story about culling bucks. Hopefully I can get to that during the last segment. Look, I end every show with a line that says, don't forget the camera. And, you know, it's always the people that are telling you what to do that get it wrong. So I got to tell you my bobcat story right quick. Florence, two weekends ago, scope conference. Goodness gracious. 22 seconds to go. First and goal, Tennessee. Oh, well, I'm going to get off of that page and get over here to this one. Anyway, I'm always telling you to take your cameras because you never know what you're going to see. Well, I'm out there with Rodney from 301 Processing. We deer hunt till about 8 o'clock. Text goes off on my phone. He goes, hey, you see anything? I said, nope, it's too hot. Bugs are about to kill me. So he said, let's go coyote hunting. I said, sure. So we got in his truck and went to a different part of the hunt club. And he put me up in this ladder stand. And he said, all right, I'm going to put the decoy. He had an electronic collar out there. But the little tail on the electronic collar was gone. So he grabbed some grass, broke off some grass, and tied it on with grass. So I had a little green tail out there waving around. It was kind of funny. But anyway, he gets out there, and he stays on the ground. He's below me, just stretched out on the ground. He hits that collar, and like 15 seconds after that rabbit starts squealing on that collar, something pops out in the road. And I'm like, well, that was easy. Pulled my gun up, looked at it. I said, that's not a bobcat. That's not a coyote. That's a bobcat. Beautiful bobcat. I mean, you know, I've been in the woods since I was like 5 years old, and I have seen exactly three bobcats in the wild now. This was a gorgeous one. Well, he's about 120 yards out, and it wasn't really walking. He's just kind of creeping along the edge of the road and all, looking, and you could tell when he caught sight of that little green tail wagging around, he really stiffened up. He crawled within about 10 feet of that collar, and he couldn't see the collar because it was in some grass, and all he could see was that little thing wagging around. he crouched there. And the whole time I'm looking at Rodney now. Rodney's on the ground. I'm like, what do I do? We haven't talked about bobcats. We talked about coyotes. Because bobcats are predators, too, and I know some people don't like them around. And I'm looking at him going, what do I do? What do I do? He is about 10 feet away from that collar, crouches down. In two bounds, he is on top of that collar. He lands on that collar like he is. He's ready to eat that rabbit. I mean, it was impressive. Well, of course, as soon as he hit that collar, he realized this is not a rabbit or something I'm going to eat. And boom, he was back in the grass on the other side of the road. Well, Rodney, okay, pausing here, dying laughing. Rodney rolls over and he looks at me and goes like, what are you waiting on? You know, I said, we did not discuss bobcats. We discussed coyotes. We didn't talk about bobcats. But I am absolutely kicking myself for not having my camera. It was like 8 o'clock. The sun was just right. Colors. He was spotted up. Big old male bobcat. And I don't even have a picture. I have a memory. I'll cherish that forever, but I don't have a picture. I could have had some great pictures. So when I tell you, it's for a reason, and I can't believe I just, broke my own rule. I do take a lot of back roads. I make time to get outdoors. I just forgot the camera. Anyway, that's my bobcat story. On a good note, now here's the good side of it. It was a good thing I didn't shoot the bobcat because it wasn't in season. You can't go after bobcats until trapping season comes in, and you cannot use electronic calls to call them in. So it worked out, but man, I tell you, it's just killer. Just killer. But it was a beautiful bobcat. Great time over in Florence. We're going to have a couple of people on from Florence. We had a Marsh Tacky Horse episode, seminar. We had some few other things. We're going to get some of those people on. Florence is a great place. Town was really friendly, invited us in, did a lot for us. And you're going to hear from some of those people on the later episodes of Woods and Water, South Carolina. And it's like South Carolina won. Go figure that out. So anyway, hang on through the break. We're going to talk to Neil Paul with Visit Anderson on the other side about Green Pond Landing and some of the stuff we got coming in the next few months. Woods and Water, South Carolina. I'm waiting on Neil. I'm sure he'll call in. He's a busy guy these days. I've had this forever. Forever. Like from the very first day of the show, I think. Coyote facts and encounters. What you need to know about the coyote. And, of course, this was most of this research they concluded back in 2007. So this is a few years old. 2007, 2009. Yeah. Anyway, just some interesting facts on coyotes. When you hear people talk about going coyote hunting or coyote predation on the deer population, there's a good reason for it. Coyotes can run almost 40 miles an hour and can jump over an 8-foot fence. Here's the interesting. Coyotes can have up to 19 pups in a litter. Most rapidly reproducing predator species. Coyote pups in urban areas have a survival rate 5 times higher than pups in rural areas. In a 2009 study from a group of coyotes who were tracked from November 2005 to February 2006, the breakdown of a coyote's diet was found to be, and you wouldn't believe the number one, 42% of them, cats. So don't leave your kitty outside at night. Don't go out, especially if you're in that area where a lot of coyotes are moving into in the suburbs. Where they can, they're kind of protected, don't have to worry about it. Kind of like the deer population. So deer bringing the coyotes with them. Human encounters, 111 coyote attacks on children and adults. That's documented 1977, 2004. Number of individuals injured in attacks, including rescue, is 136. 64% of attacks were adults who were injured by coyotes. 79% of attacks have been documented in the span of 10 years, indicating that this problem is increasing. And I can think you can see by the coyote population the effect this had on the deer population. It's absolutely correct. Going to go into a few things on the calendar events. I was hoping to talk to Neil right now, but he's obviously got something else going on. And the calendar events is brought to you by Visit Anderson and Green Pond Landing and Event Center. One of the last year I went to this, it's the third one, it's the third annual Bird Dog Revival. This is Tom Hall, his organization over in Ridgeway, South Carolina. It's at Magnolia Farms Lodge. They're going to have bird dogs, field trial, barbecue, music, horses in action, dogs in action. It says experience a covey rise. You know, I went to it because that's kind of where I cut my teeth in hunting is bird dogs. Tom was on the show with me last year to talk about it. It was a great time. It's got a neat place. It's a habitat restoration in progress. At least last year it was. And, you know, they had bird dog trials. Had a really neat group of guys. Some of the old school bird hunters from South Carolina were there to kind of talk about bird hunting and its heyday and how to bring it back. And they had field trialers there. A lot of puppies around. If you got a German short hair, you know, as a pet, you want to see what the dog's capable of or what the Bird Hunting Society is. This is a good one. November the 4th, a third annual Bird Dog Revival, Magnolia Farm Lodge. That's in Ridgeway, South Carolina. You can look them up. They've got a Facebook page, so you can look them up on there. Weekday waterfall tours at Devil's Fork State Park. This is from the South Carolina Parks website. The next one coming up is November the 7th through November the 9th. And they've got December dates, too. Experience some of the most dramatic waterfall and scenic locations in upstate South Carolina while also enjoying one of the mountain villas at Devil's Fork State Park. That's right. You get to stay at Devil's Fork State Park on Wednesday. And they're going to take you to... Well, it doesn't say where they're going to take you to because I think they change it. But anyway, multiple locations, different waterfalls during the different dates. Space is limited to 8 guests per tour, so book early. You can find out more information at the South Carolina State Parks website. Man, I got a hard time talking today for some reason or another. Let's see. Georgetown Wooden Boat Show. This is always one that I want to go to, and I never have been able to get down there. It's just the wrong time of the year for me to go. But starts this coming Friday, October the 20th. They're going to have a Goat Island Yacht Club regatta. My dad used to go to this and absolutely loved it. Saturday events, it's free admission on Saturday. The main events, the wooden boat exhibit along Main Street and in the harbor. Over 140 classic wooden boats ranging in size from kayaks to yachts will be displayed in the water and on Front Street. You can meet and talk to wooden boat crafts and manufacturers and owners. Wooden boat challenge, this is like boat building on steroids. From 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., teams of boat builders will compete to build a rowing skiff within a 4-hour time limit and then test their boats' seaworthiness by rowing across the Sandpit River, which is always cool. So they build it, they seal it, and they row it all in the same 4 hours. Pretty cool. Food and entertainment all along Front Street and all. Kids model boat building will be on there for your kids if you're interested in going down to Georgetown for the weekend. It's a great family event. It's free, remember. And then they got Sunday events going on too. Pram regatta. Cardboard boat regatta. There we go. That's the one you need to go to. So anyway, Georgetown Wooden Boat Show. You're interested in going down and learning more, then that's where you need to be. Next Saturday, Five Points Columbia, 30th annual chili cook-off. I got to work in food somewhere. So chili cook-off is the 30th annual down at Five Points. That's in Columbia. October 21st, the best part, the event is free. Love all these fall events that are free. So they got music going on, chili, food truck rodeo. Each chili is available for a $1 donation, so please come with small bills in hand. Forget your ones. We'll have a 3-change station, in other words, ATMs on site, so you can get there. And Academy Sports and Outdoors is going to be there. Guaranteeing for a good time for the whole family. They're Little Pepper's Place, will be a big hit with the kids with a mega slide, bounce house, face painting, balloon twisting, bubbles, and more. That's the 30th annual chili cook-off in Five Points down in Columbia. And I tell you what, it doesn't look like Neil's going to get the call in here. So for all you deer hunters out there, and this is, you know, I do it. I plant food plots. I kind of plant mine multi-use, let's put it. A lot of mine this year were brown top and sorghum, which the deer love brown top. I've even heard they'll eat some sorghum heads, but, you know, the birds enjoy the brown top seed. So it's a multi-use. I do have a lot of peas out there. I got clover patches, oat patches, you know, just whatever, just trying to give them a potpourri. And I'll let those oats and all, you know, go to seed next spring. Great place for your turkeys to bug in and your quail. This was written from a, from an out Midwest standpoint, but it's, are you wasting money on food plots? And it gives you a kind of a pause just a little bit. And again, this is the Midwest setting, so I'm going to kind of twist it just a little bit to make it an Eastern thing. It's happening right now. Money is being wasted. Time is being squandered. And it's all on account of food plots. Yes, that's right. You're wasting your time and your money with food plots. I stand by it. The gauntlet has been dropped. There must come a time when enough is enough. It's written by Tony Hansen. The time is now. I'm finished with food plots. Now, maybe that's a bit dramatic. Maybe I'm not completely finished with them, but I had to get your attention. Food plots certainly have their place as they can produce some excellent results. Trouble is they don't produce results in many of my hunting situations. In fact, the majority of the food plots I've planted, and I'd wager many of that you've planted too, were an utter waste of resources. So, he says, I live in southern Michigan, one of the most heavily hunted areas of the nation. We measure hunter numbers per mile. Planting food plots in heavy ag can be like the proverbial needle in a haystack. So from Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Ohio, there are more deer-rich states with high hunter densities than there are prime states with limiting hunting pressure. That's simply a fact. I cannot reference only what personal experience has taught me to be true. And in my personal experiences, food plots are as overhyped as a Tom Cruise movie. A couple of years ago, I established two of the finest plots I've ever put in. They totaled about 2 acres in size and were absolutely bursting with greenery, turnips, sugar beets, and radishes. In a year that saw intense drought, I kept those plots hydrated. Turnips grew to be the size of cantaloupes. The deer nibbled a bit on the leaves in late October after a couple of frosts, but there was no maximum drawing power. There was never a clear pattern of use. I figured that would all change once the beans were taken off the nearby fields and the snow began to fly. I was wrong. The deer walked right through those plots on their way to scrounge and harvested bean fields through December and January. Check the plots in turkey season. There were still hundreds of turnips lying atop the ground rotting in the spring sun. Plenty to eat, nowhere to hide. Now, okay, Midwest situation here. Pressured deer in the Midwest have no shortage of food. They are quite literally surrounded by groceries. A little different here in the South. Food plots do get hammered a good bit in that January, February. That's why you got to have a green source out there. But the big thing that's in short supply, at least in this, is places to hide. Places where hunters aren't stepping on them everywhere. For example, one of the areas that I plant as a food plot. You know what? I got the pages changed around here. No, maybe I didn't. Okay. He talks about his food plot being in the perfect place and all. It's an ideal location, but there's no security. And think about it. Most of our food plots are wide open. However big they are, they're wide open. It's a low cover, you know, clover plot, soybeans. And we like it that way because we can see the deer. But it's absolutely useless to the deer, except at night. So he says, you know, he says, my new plan, here's the new plan. Rather than blowing my budget on planting more deer food, started to focus more on cover. In the woods, there are a number of natural openings that I've used as plot locations in the past. I established these plots using nothing more than a hand sprayer and a rake, a no-frills process that he writes about in Realtree. Reestablish natural cover. And I got another story in here about old field management that we'll get to, too. Many of the openings inside the timber that I previously used as food plots were once filled with brush, multiflora rose, and other bushes. Those were removed and killed off so I could plant my food plots. Many of those areas he's now going to allow to revert to brush and thicket. I'll still give those openings attention. I'll likely still establish food plots in them, but I'll spend far more time focusing on the cover around these plots, like soft edges. You've heard that term before. You go from the woods down to a a brushy soft edge, you know, gives deer something to come out of the woods into that where they can look around and scan them because they're worried about their safety. Reestablish, you know, the natural cover. Fertilize and enhance existing cover. Some people say you can get a lot more bang for your buck by running down an old roadbed, a road through a cutover, and just with a hurricane spreader, spreading fertilizer on what's already there. You know, other existing opens that haven't planted will get a fertilizer treatment or selective tree removal to allow more sunlight penetration and further enhance the level of nasty that the cover can provide. To enhance existing cover, simply apply fertilizer to any vegetation in the area. Hinge cut. You've heard, we talked about it once here on the show. I'm going to have to get a hold of the gentleman up in Michigan who's responsible for hinge cutting. You know, hinge cutting, and we've got a perfect, perfect resource here in the South. Sweet gum trees. You can't kill them. Well, you can kill them, hack and squirt, but they're perfect for hinge cutting. And hinge cutting means you go about 3 or 4 feet up, you find 5 or 6 trees, you cut them 2/3 of the way through, you bend them all over, and you create cover. Add a plot screen. This year when I do a sow a food plot, I'm going to fence in the perimeters and then with plot screen, a blend with frigid forage. You know, the stuff grows about 7 feet and creates an incredible area of cover. Corn. When I was over in Florence, talked to Andy Anderson, who runs a hunt club management firm. And he said, look, plant 6, 8, 10 rows of corn. He said the deer will bed in that stuff during the day because they feel safe. And they'll eat the corn that's on the stalk. Rather than feed them corn on the ground, why don't you take that low-growing, you know, clover plot or whatever, or whatever you're planting, oats, and just plant corn in the spring, and you're done for the year. You know, because they'll eat that corn all through the colder months and have cover to boot. Another good one there is Egyptian wheat. That's another good one that'll dual purpose, cover, and it benefits all your other things. So anyway, again, written from a Southern Michigan standpoint, but remember, those food plots that we all plant, stick our stands right on the edge, and, you know, expect to shoot everything that walks out. Yep, that's a good thing, I guess. But think about it from the deer standpoint. How many more would you see if you gave them those natural areas where they could hole up and feel safe? And then just hunt the edges. Anyway, something to think about while you're sitting in the stand looking at your nice food plot in the woods this year. Hang on through the break. We'll be back with more Woods and Water, South Carolina. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Talked to Neil during the break. He got a little hung up and he's going to try to call back at 3:50 or whatever, so we'll catch up with Neil when we can. Riley's Catch, October the 27th through the 28th. It's coming up in a hurry. It seems like it takes forever for these events to get here, and then they're here before you know it. I guess we got them. Do we have them up, Paul? You guys there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm here. Hey. Hello? Yeah, we got everybody. We're joined by Chris Canute, who's the coach over at York County. And you got a couple of guys with you that I've talked to before. Up in Paris, Tennessee, I sat down with Tanner Maness and Britt Myers and talked to them about high school fishing. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Tanner, you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
Who am I missing then? Britt didn't say hello.
I said hello, sir.
Oh, is Chris there?
Oh, yeah.
Chris. Yeah, I'm here. Oh. I'm here.
Okay, I got it. All right, guys. 2 weeks to go. Well, less than 2 weeks to go because it actually starts 2 weeks from yesterday. Tell me, how are things looking for the tournament coming up on October 28th?
You know, well, we've really been blessed with a lot of great sponsors. As late as 2 days ago, Duke Energy, the Allen Steam Station Group, decided they were going to donate $2,000 towards a scholarship.
Wow.
So the prizes, the hype behind this event, we just released the Battle of the Border Belt, which will go to the top team of the event. It's a $750 wrestling belt.
Ric Flair would be proud.
Yes, he would. So, you know, I'm just amazed at the people that keep getting behind this. We had Onyx get behind. Onyx is doing a life jacket challenge. If you bring one of your old life jackets, it can be one of the old orange life jackets you got laying around your garage to that meeting on the 27th.
Yeah.
You're going to get your name put in a hat to win a $400 Onyx inflatable life jacket.
Wow.
So just it just continues. You know, Favorite Fishing Rods donated 40 rods. Of course, the trophies, just the whole thing just continues to, you know, Rod Goodall and myself and everybody has made this thing work. It's took a group. It's took a village is what I say every day.
Yeah, I got the schedule. I saw the schedule come out. Registration 4:30, dinner rules meeting Friday night. The Guggen Squad. Who in the world is the Guggen Squad? I mean, Chris, I don't know if you know who they are. Tanner, what's the Guggen Squad?
Well, they're a group of guys that make YouTube videos.
Okay.
Of them fishing and doing whatever, and they're actually really good. Like, they're good filmmakers is what they are.
Okay. See, he lost me. When he said YouTube, I'm like, okay. YouTubers for 80s era music videos. How's that? Because MTV doesn't play them anymore. So you guys know that stuff. I don't. Britt, you guys had a second place last weekend, you and your partner there. What, tell us a little bit about that tournament.
It was a really big grind. We only caught like 8 fish all day, but they were just the good sizes we needed. We just worked hard all day and we got lucky to catch the right fish that we needed to do good.
That's what it takes. It's just the right few bites, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Still enjoy being up there with Paris, Tennessee with you guys. That was fun. High school fishing is going just exploding. And you guys are seniors this year, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So what's next?
Probably going to fish in college.
Yeah, fish in college.
Any idea where you guys want to go?
I want to go to Clemson, but like I got accepted to Lander yesterday.
Oh,
so
and they have
they have a pretty good fishing team.
Yeah, they do. Britt, where are you thinking about going?
I don't know. I've been looking at a few colleges, like Bryan College and Lander, also.
Okay,
that's really it so far, and Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, what do you got, Britt? Yeah, Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, I know you're talking about college and all that, but you know what? I want them guys on the top. I want them to remember the senior year. It slips by so fast. You blink your eye, and guess what? It's gone.
Yeah, you're you know, what are we, 2 months into your senior year of school and one tournament down? You got, what, four more tournaments to go? Let's see, 1, 2, yeah, 4 more to go. And your senior year is over. 5 more.
Yeah.
And that's the message I've tried to tell both of these guys and having a chance. I've been around some great kids that went off to fish for college. And the one thing I want these two is, the reason I want them on this call, I mean, they've had a phenomenal junior year.
Yep.
And I want them to have the best senior year for memories and for opportunities. And not to, it just slips by before you know it. We're graduating and they're walking down getting their diploma.
Well, you know, it's senior year. This is the first Battle of the Border tournament. It's in your backyard on what you consider your home lake. Both of you chime in and give us your chances on taking the belt for the first year and your senior year of high school.
I think it'd be pretty cool if the team won the deal. That'd be amazing. Lake's really tough right now, so hopefully we can pull it off. But
tough and what? Just not many fish biting?
Well, fish are biting decent. They're not biting really well.
Okay.
But most of the fish that are biting are just not keepers is a problem.
What is the size limit for the rod? Is it 14 inches?
Yes, sir.
Tanner?
Yes, sir.
What do you think?
Well, I think it's all about finding the right fish, like it always is. If we can get lucky, that'll be awesome. But I hope everybody gets lucky and catches a limit. That would be awesome.
What would it mean to you to bring that, to have that belt and then come back next year and watch your other teammates defend it?
Well, that would be quite some time. I mean, for us to take it or for anybody on our team to take it would be awesome. And then I'd, like, me and Britt would come back and support whoever was defending it. Hopefully it's our team.
Now, as you guys, you know, senior year, you've been fishing for a few years now. What all y'all as seniors, I mean, you're looked up to by the other kids on the team, of course. What all do you try to pass along?
I guess respect, and it doesn't really matter how well you do in a tournament as long as you try your hardest. A lot of people think it's all about winning, but it's really not. It's about if you do good in the tournament or if you don't do good in the tournament, as long as you tried your hardest, there's nothing else you can do. So,
Tanner?
That's a lot of kids. Yeah.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Gosh, you guys have been fishing together way too long. Way too long. Chris, what else you got on the updates on the Riley's Catch tournament?
You know, it's like I said, we got, from a crowd standpoint, you know, we got the fanfare, and I know you mentioned it. We really want everybody to understand that from starting at 10:30, going to 1:30 before the junior high weigh-in, there's going to be a fanfare. Bass Pro Shops is bringing a brim catching pond out. Cabela's is bringing a 12,000 gallon kayak pond.
Oh my goodness!
It's going to be the archery ranges, BB guns. It's going to have a little bit of. If you want to just really enjoy an event and get an opportunity to get out and maybe learn something about the outdoors, maybe you're not into fishing, maybe you're into archery, or maybe you're. But there's going to be something for everyone in the family on that fanfare day before the weigh-in actually starts, which I think is phenomenal.
I talked to Marty. He was the one that showed me the bell. He does so much for the high school trail here in South Carolina, especially in the upstate.
Would totally agree. Marty down at Palmetto Boat Center, you know, he's organized this trail. I've got an opportunity, you know, to come and fish within the last 2 years as a coach. Great run. We had 268 high school teams, 48 junior high school teams down at Russell. We went out of Russell State Park, and by 5:15, the weigh-in was concluded, and by 5:30, the trophies were handed out. Just a fine-run organization from top to bottom.
It is a smooth operation, and I think Marty enjoys being kind of the man behind the scenes because you don't see him out front very much, do you?
You don't. You know, he's quiet, reserved. He's not out there trying to sell boats. I feel like Marty truly cares about these young men and women and giving them a platform for high school fishing and don't want a whole lot for it. And you know, like you said, he's not out front. He's not trying to. He's a boat dealer. He owns a boat dealership.
That's right. Yeah.
He don't run. He's not a tournament director by committee. He does it because he loves it.
Yeah. He loves his kids. I mean, you know, why else would you do this? You know.
Exactly. I mean, it's all about that moment. You know, I hope that everybody understands. And we've all talked about this. I've been on your show before. And as me and Roger cover, this is so much bigger than me or Rod Goodall or Roger Metz or anybody. It's growing leaps and bounds. It's just amazing to see the excitement on the kid's face at the blast off and then at weigh-in. I mean, it's always fun to see that kid that brings that big fish or knows he's got a shot at the winning bag. It's the camaraderie. And that's one of the things that I'm so proud of, you know, to see all of our kids, these seniors that we're talking to on the phone today and seeing their leadership. You know, you got to have that anchor. You know, you followed a lot of good college kids, Geddes Brannan. There's a lot of good anchors on these teams, and those anchors are crucial to have.
Yep, they are. Well, Tanner, senior year,
yes, sir.
What are you going to take with you when you leave? In just a few months, what are you going to take with you from having fished in the high school tournament trails?
Just like the experience is like, I hope it goes just like this in college. Like, this is good. I'll probably take I don't even know, but like the respect.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know.
Hard to think past 2 weeks from now when you're trying to win another tournament, right?
Yeah.
Brett, what are you going to take with you when you leave high school?
I really don't know. I guess experience and learning to work hard. And when you're not doing good, keep your head up because eventually you'll catch them.
Yeah. You know, I think you guys are going to take with you. I think you're going to take a lot of memories. I think you're going to have a lot of friendships you've made, whether it's you know, teammates on the same boat with you or guys you fish against at other high schools. I think all that will continue through college. I think the biggest thing you two are going to take with you that a lot of kids don't have is decision-making ability. Do you not agree, Chris?
Oh, yeah. I would totally agree. You know, that's the thing is you watch these kids start out as seventh graders, eighth graders, ninth graders. And when they get to the caliber anglers that we're talking about with Britt and Tanner and seeing them be able to make decisions, and that's what you got to do to prepare one of these kids for the next level of fishing. And one thing I can say about both of these, being that they live on Lake Wylie, like my son lives on Lake Wylie,
mm-hmm.
you know, having the opportunity to get up, and I remember, I can go back real quick to this summer when the shad spawn was on. Britt, how many mornings were you out there on the lake before daylight trying to run us to a spot to catch shad spawn fish?
A lot of hours, a lot of mornings.
So let
and
me
that's
get
what that's that experience that you were talking about that they're going to take away.
Yeah, you know, watching you guys out there stick with it, you know, make a decision. Look, we got to change. We got to do something different. I think that's something that a lot of kids miss these days is that decision making ability. Because when you're out there, your boat captain can't help you with that. You two have got to decide it, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And you got a great boat captain, by the way.
Yes.
I'm going to come up and have lunch with your dad either Wednesday or Thursday this week because we got some other things going on here in South Carolina coming up pretty shortly. October, 2 weeks from today, you're going to have the tournament. In fact, right now, weigh-in will be going on. Best of luck to both of you.
Thank you.
This thing is going to take – where is this thing going to take place at, Chris?
It's going to take place at the Clover High School. All the information is on RileyCatch.com. But we're weighing in at the school, which is, I think this is the first time from talking to everybody that we'll have a trailered weigh-in at a facility, which is at the high school there.
Right.
Look forward to that because, I mean, these kids deserve the, this is like their Bassmaster Classic.
Yep, it is.
This is their opportunity to get trailered in and have the audience, have the fans. Several media stations, I know me and you had talked, we were able, there's no telling what could happen. You'd said something about doing a live broadcast from there. We've found a way to get you an Ethernet cable out the door.
Cool. Then I'll be there. As long as there's nothing here at the station.
That's right. That whole experience there, a live weigh-in, is amazing in itself. Clover High School launching out a Buster Board for the high school teams. Ebenezer Park will have the junior high teams. So we got two ramps we're going to be using. They start weighing in at 1:30 there at Clover High School. And then at 3:00, high school teams start weighing in. Lots of trophies. I did see the first, second, and third place trophies already. And, you know, you're a pretty good sized guy, Roger, and they're about as tall as you are.
Oh my goodness. All out. And the lake's got water, right, guys?
Yeah, kinda.
Kinda.
Right now, the sad thing about last year is 2 years ago, the tournament was canceled because of
too much
water being low.
Yeah.
Or I don't remember. I think it may have been too much water.
Yeah, 2 years ago was too much water.
And then, but they still had it because the levels went down eventually.
Right.
But last year there was way too little water and they canceled it and sadly they couldn't have it.
Right.
This year, luckily, we're looking pretty good, so.
I'm looking forward to being there. I at times during my life, I wish I was back in high school and I could, you know, do some of this fun stuff that, you know, we kind of did, but we kind of did it on our own. But, looking forward to a great weekend at Riley's Catch. Looking forward to meeting some more high school anglers. I'll be there for lunch in the morning, be there for weigh-in in the afternoon, and best of luck to you both. Chris, kudos to you and Rod for teaming up, bringing in all these sponsors. I hope it's going to be a great event. And if you're out there listening, this event's free, right, guys?
Don't cost anybody a dime.
Just show up, find out what high school and middle school fishing's all about. And, you know, because there's other schools that could start a team. So if you're the school that doesn't have a bass fishing team, it's a perfect opportunity for you to go experience kind of the biggest thing there is in South Carolina and take it back to your school and get the next generation involved. Guys, I appreciate you being on a part of Woods and Water South Carolina. Look forward to the coming weekends.
Thank you for having us.
Yep. Talk to you later. And with that, hang on. Neil's on the line. We'll get to a little bit more with Green Bond Landing when we come back from more Woods and Water South Carolina. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. And Neil, are you finally here?
I am. How about it?
All right. You are doing the family thing today, and we all understand that. How's the couch?
What they say, if you can't be on time, just get here when you can.
That's right. Luckily, we decided to do part of this today and part of it next week, so we still can make up whatever we didn't get to today.
Absolutely.
You got something coming up this week probably not a lot of people are aware of, but it's pretty big because three of the guys fishing next week are going to be back in March for the Bassmaster Classic.
That's right. We, by virtue, and it's fairly new, I guess, the concept, the Bass Nation Championship. It's certainly not a new event, but 2 years ago, Bass changed up the way that they awarded the host bid out for that event, and the lake community that hosts the Bassmaster Classic beginning with Conroe back in the, back last fall. Conroe was selected, along with Houston to host the 2017 Bassmaster Classic, and they changed, and started giving the host community the opportunity to, host a nation championship as well. So when we were awarded the 2018 Bassmaster Classic, we jumped at the opportunity to host the nation championship, and we're excited. It's, you know, the headliner, other than the fact that the top three finishers will come back in March and fish the classic, is the fact that it'll bring anglers from 47 states and 9 countries to our community for a week.
9 countries. That's impressive.
Yeah. 47 states, 9 countries. And the pretty cool thing about it is, we've had an opportunity with working with Bass, and I have to give kudos to Marty Walker over at Palmetto Boat Center. But we've also arranged a couple of boats for a couple of the foreign teams that are international teams rather that didn't have their boat situation set up. So we're sort of a jack of all trades in this thing.
You are. Hey, at one point you needed some volunteers and all. Have you fully filled out everybody you need?
We needed a few volunteers. I was also looking for some folks that may be interested in marshalling with us on next Saturday, Championship Saturday. We have fortunately filled the marshals roles at this time, but I am still looking for a few volunteers. So if you're out there and you're interested in volunteering with Bass on Thursday and Friday afternoon in the service yard and weigh-ins, by all means, shoot me an email at Neil, N-E-I-L, at visitanderson.com. That's the best way to get me at this point.
Yeah, don't try to call him, folks. You'll get his voicemail.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Yeah, I poke fun at you when I can, you know. Daily launch time, 7:30 in the morning. Weigh-ins at 3:45 in the afternoon.
That's correct. And on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, there will be a small sponsors expo beginning at 2:00 each day at Green Pond. The entire event will take place at Green Pond.
Okay.
The service yard will be located at Green Pond. Weigh-ins will take place, as you mentioned, at 3:45, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday would launch at 7:30. It'll be the same facility and sort of the same format that we'll follow in March when the big guys are back for the classic.
Speaking of the facility, what are some of the upgrades that you guys have done and will do before March?
Well, Anderson County, the state of South Carolina, particularly DNR and some additional grant funding that was received. The upper parking lot, if you're familiar with the facility at Green Pond, the upper parking lot has been paved now, which allows us to be able to say that, you know, the entire facility is paved.
Okay.
Now, somewhere between December and the Classic coming back in March, the county is going to be, I saw the concept drawing for it on Thursday, but the county is going to build a permanent bathroom facility at Green Pond, as well as install another 350 linear feet of dock space. So you'll see additional dock space in time for the Classic, as well as a permanent restroom facility, and then some other grading and landscaping changes will come into play next summer.
Very cool, Neil. Better late than never, my friend. Right?
Absolutely. I apologize, but look forward to the opportunity to get to do it again. And it did give me a break from moving furniture. My brother's getting married in a couple of weeks, so I'm helping him do the moving thing today.
Very cool. And I didn't introduce you. You're the executive director of Visit Anderson. And I appreciate so much the sponsorship of the show through both the advertising and the sponsorship of the calendar of events.
No, well, listen, we love the opportunity to work with you and appreciate what you do for not only our community, but for the outdoors in South Carolina. And folks young and old, it's been a great relationship for us and one that we look to continue on.
Very good, my friend. Look, be back next week because we got some stuff on the high school bass class. Save all that thunder for next Saturday and this time be on time.
Can't wait. Thanks a lot.
All right, Neil, talk to you soon.
Yep.
Well, there you go. Bass Nation, three of those guys fishing will be back in March to fish with the big guys in the Classic. And that's it for Woods and Water, South Carolina. Here we go. Make time to get out there. Take those back roads when you can. And note to self, don't forget the camera. Talk to you next week. More Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Hit me from behind, 'cause I'm gone to Carolina.